We welcome you back to the Two Guys Named Chris Show. At this time every week, we talk with Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of this program. She's always giving us great legal advice. Can do the same for you at LanierLawGroup.com, and she weighs in on many stories. We call it Lawyer Up, and we'll start with the story my wife commented on earlier in the week, and the one she's most interested in, as we say hello to you, Lisa. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm great. I hope you guys are.
Doing very well, thanks. Yeah,
if I may just jump in for a moment, Lisa, Chris Kelly's wife gave a tour de force performance. The woman is passionate about the law and crime.
Yep.
Not to the same extent that Lisa Lanier is, but many people are saying, Lisa Lanier, that you and Chris Kelly's wife could team up for a doozy of a podcast.
I've heard so many people say that.
We should do that. We should do, I should have called her and invited her. I'm going to CrimeCon in a few weeks in Orlando. She would die.
There's a CrimeCon?
Doesn't she have a birthday coming up?
She does have a birthday coming up, actually, yes. If we could send her.
Where's CrimeCon?
Where is it?
What'd you say, Orlando?
It's in Orlando this year. Yeah, it's in Orlando. It's just a couple of weeks, so you got to hurry if you're going to get her there. But
Do you dress up in costume?
Will Trump be there?
He's the keynote.
Oh, is he giving the?
Oh my gosh, this is fantastic.
CrimeCon.
I've heard a lot. These are
both sides of the. I think the Murdaugh case are going to be. All of them are going to be there, and then a bunch of. It's crazy. All the podcasters that are going to be there. Dateline.
Kelly.
Oh my god.
Word. Talk about
that's the first I've ever heard of this.
Me too. I didn't even know that was a thing. I had no idea. Well, Lisa, I'm telling you, a lot of people have told me these are two strong, passionate women who love the law. My wife's all about true crime and has really gotten into this Murdaugh. The only thing I'm worried about is, and it's already been said many times, is my wife is a better broadcaster than me.
And her podcast would surpass yours.
My podcast, and my ego could suffer a bit there.
Wow.
But she was saying now, she told us the ins and outs of this earlier in the week, that the clerk of court, who, by the way, let her in a side door of the courthouse.
She said, quit saying that.
I'm not supposed to say that.
Yeah.
But this woman apparently went back to the jury and said, y'all know what you're doing, right? You didn't get fooled by that old dude, did you?
You weren't listening to the defense, were you?
Hurry along now and get home. Don't y'all want your smoke? Go ahead and find him guilty.
The accusations are horrific.
They are.
Yeah.
She's the clerk. Yeah. Do you think he gets a new trial out of this? What do you think?
Well, two jurors have signed affidavits, sworn statements that this stuff happened, and the allegations are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she wouldn't let him, like you said, wouldn't let him go smoke till he came down with a verdict and went in there and basically said, don't believe anything that he says. And I mean, it was crazy. So, yeah, some of the jurors came forward because they got upset when this woman, this clerk of court, immediately flew to New York and went on all these television shows and published a book.
Mm-hmm.
And they started thinking about her conduct and going, maybe she was trying to rush a guilty verdict through so she could sell a book.
Wow.
So they came forward, but then some of the jurors won't talk to the defense. So what they're seeking here is an inquiry. They want the FBI because they think all these local South Carolina yokels aren't going to give it a fair shake. So they want an outside entity. There's a text message group chat between all the jurors. They want that. They want emails, particularly the clerk of court's emails. And they think they're going to be able to show, and they want each juror to be put on the stand and say, look, did this woman pressure you? What'd she say?
Mm-hmm.
And if he proved this stuff, he's getting a new trial.
Yeah.
Can I ask you this, Lisa? If you're the Murdaugh defense team, I understand certainly asking for a new trial, but why would they not even say this is a mistrial and set my client free?
Well, because, essentially a new trial, it's really from a sort of technical standpoint, it's really not that different, but it's not a mistrial once it's over.
Okay.
And you have to have it basically set aside. It can't be a mistrial. Mistrial is something prior to a verdict. So they're just asking for a new trial, have this one set aside, get a new trial. He won't get out of prison, though, because he's already entered a guilty plea on a ton of other charges unrelated to the murder. So he's going to be, sitting in prison no matter what.
Mm, my goodness. And why would this woman, wouldn't she know by doing this as an elected official, clerk of court, that this would come back to haunt her and get a new trial if this were ever got out to the public?
Well, I think it's the culture that we see, that created Murdaugh. This little small rural town where everybody thinks they can just do whatever and they make the law.
Mm-hmm.
She's, you know, she thinks she's the power and nobody's going to question her, right. Kind of like he did.
That's it. That's it. Right. That's what y'all said.
And yeah. Your wife, Kelly, said that, you know, in your wife's mind, the clerk of court, and I can't remember her name, sorry.
Becky.
Miss Becky.
They call her Miss Becky.
She was just like being a genial host.
Yeah. Like she was hosting the entire thing.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? And so
I
think he's going to wind up.
But what about all the trials that she's been a part of before that?
They should look at
however many years she's worked.
I know they should look at those.
I mean, probably been telling people, you know, how to vote. I'm guilty or not.
Vote this way, vote that way.
And she could be held criminally at some point if it's found to be true, Lisa?
Well, here's the interesting thing, you know, and this is part of that whole South Carolina, you know, small town culture, is they don't really have a lot of teeth in their laws to. I mean, she possibly could be if she's charged criminally, but it's tough. I mean, they don't really have a lot. They can't even really remove her from office if she's indicted. What they could do is suspend her position. It's crazy.
She's
can sort of she's elected, and it's, you know, it's a weird in North Carolina. The clerks of court are like judges, and they basically preside over divorces and probate and all sorts of things. But in South Carolina, it sounds like they take on almost more of a bailiff-type role where they're interacting with the jury a lot and escorting them in and out. And so it's a very different scenario there.
Crazy. I mean, that it's just the fact that he could get a new trial and that my wife could be sent in front and center again.
Again.
Exactly. She's going to go down there again.
Could they ask for a change of venue? Maybe even the prosecution say, can we get it out of this county?
Well, bring it here so we don't have to travel. You know?
Open up your house.
Bring them here. Let them come here.
Let them sit in your hot tub.
Yeah. Fine.
Deliberate out back in the hot tub.
That'll be just fine. Yeah. Crazy story. Now, this one affects Chris Dim. Chris Dim has lost ESPN because of a fight between Spectrum Cable and Disney that owns ESPN and ABC. Well, some University of Florida Gator fans are not taking that lying down. A guy named David Harwood is a Florida fan. He missed the Florida versus Utah game on ESPN, which I believe they started and then...
Right as kickoff was about to commence.
That's right.
They unplugged it.
Yeah, they unplugged it. Now you've got a Florida State game coming up. So this attorney is suing to try and get his ESPN ABC back. But I would think he's got no chance. He is an attorney and should know this kind of things. What are you thinking, Lisa? Does he have a shot at this?
You know, you got to watch out when you got this attorney Florida Gators fan and you deprive him of his game.
Because he's
just going to go mad and file lawsuits left and right. He's trying to get a class action going. I mean, remember we talked about this, I think, the other day, and it depends on you if they can really kind of forum shop. Florida has a pretty good consumer protection statute. So he's filing under that, which, you know, not all states, just a handful of states have those really super, really protective consumer laws. They have one. And then he's also saying that for some of the consumers, they're still charging them a package that includes this Disney package.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that really pushes it over. You know, I think that he's saying breach of contract and this other, you know, for charging. I think he's got a much better argument if they're still charging people something that they're not providing. And what they've said, and I think they've acknowledged, they're saying they're going to offer these credit vouchers or something for, you know, for people who are still paying for those services. But, you know, that's a problem if you're still charging.
Oh, I agree. That's wrong.
If you've
bought like ESPN Plus or whatever and can't get it because of this and you're paying, that's not right.
And Disney Plus is an extra fee, correct?
That's right, of course, yeah. It's crazy that
well,
would...
And the Disney's, what they're really after here is they want to drive people to Hulu because they now own two-thirds of Hulu.
Okay.
And you can get the same package on Hulu.
Oh, they don't care that you can't see it.
That's right.
You know what they've done, too?
Hmm.
Disney is rolling out right now for 3 months. You can pay $1.99 a month for the basic for like Disney Plus and Hulu. Right.
That sounds just like what I've been looking for.
What's Disney basic? Like Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Right. Yeah.
It's just the animated.
I think it has
Minnie Mouse.
Right. Now, this won't give you your live sports back though.
No, you're right.
Well, but Hulu has a live.
That's if you got to say that's Hulu TV. No,
yeah,
that's different.
It is. It's a package that includes sports. It includes the Disney channels that they're missing. It's the whole Disney package. National Geographic and all that.
Well, I don't like these fights.
I'm a simpler man.
And going beyond that, Disney and ABC they may be Disney may sell ABC and ESPN. They're trying to get rid of it. They want everybody on their app.
Right.
They don't care about the consumer of cable or streaming television.
That's the way they think it's going, and that's what they're going to try to do.
They want you over on the app.
They own it. You know what this reminds me of, Lisa, is during COVID, like a friend of mine had a membership at a gym, and they asked him to keep paying his membership even though they were closed so that they could remain in business. And I guess you can do that, but that just doesn't seem right to charge people when you're not offering your services. They can get away with that, I suppose.
Well, you know, they came in, and I think like what the governor said at the time was, you know, y'all try to work something out because it's in everybody's best interest. If you love your gym, it's in your best interest to keep your gym open, right? And it's going to close if everybody just stops paying. Yeah. And so I think what he was saying is maybe charge less or come to some kind of an agreement about what you'll get in the future, or you know, you'll get some extra, extend your contract or something at a fixed rate. So he was basically encouraging people to try to just work together, you know, to try to have an outcome that's good for everybody.
Well, my friend didn't like it because he liked racquetball and then Esteem, and they didn't open the racquetball courts back up. They never did
because it's 1983.
1953.
You know, my friend, he'd go racquetball and take a steam.
It's like a sauna in here.
Yeah.
I'm schwitzing.
and he paid the whole year and a half they were closed, and they opened everything except the racquetball courts and the steam. They said it was too tight a quarter.
Now
he goes to pickleball. That's what he did. It drove him drove him right to my arms, and now we're the pickleball pair.
I didn't know he took a steam.
Yeah.
In there with some 70-year-old men C-cups.
Pouring water on the rocks.
Yeah, he took a steam. That was his whole thing. He'd play racquetball for 3 hours and then go and steam for an hour. And felt great about it.
Pray to God he wore a towel.
He loved it. Yeah, absolutely. That was his whole thing. That's right. A question today about a lawsuit. This is interesting to me. In Brooklyn, there's a guy named Jano Lieber, quite wealthy, slapped with a $5 million lawsuit because a woman claimed she was jogging on the sidewalk outside his multi-million dollar home in Brooklyn. She fell over what she says is a large crack there in the flatbush. It was a flatbush Victorian home worth $2.1 million. She fell and injured herself and says that these injuries are going to be permanent. The effects will be permanent for the rest of her life. So she's suing for $5 million, saying he didn't care about the pedestrians in front of his house. Does he have to, Lisa? Because she jogged by it of her own volition. She's 64 years old and fell. Naomi Cohn is her name. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so it's interesting in New York. And this guy, by the way, he's not just any New Yorker. He's the chairman of the mass transit, of all mass transit for New York.
Right, okay.
And and his neighborhood in Brooklyn is, you know, $2 million doesn't get you, like, you know, a giant mansion or anything in New York. It's a nice sort of middle-class neighborhood with these, you know, pretty trees and sidewalks in front of all the houses. Well, New York has a statute that says that property owners must maintain the sidewalk that's on their property.
Mm-hmm.
And so that shifts the responsibility to him. And then the burden is he's responsible for anything that he knew about or should have known about in the exercise of reasonable care. And so I think his homeowners will probably step in. And I think that premises cases are fairly popular in New York. I think his homeowners will probably settle with her.
Okay.
Dang.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. I mean, if the sidewalk cracks, it's on you?
I thought
that ain't
too.
Cool, man.
Yeah, it shifts it. Not all jurisdictions are like that. In a lot of municipalities, it's the city that takes care of it. Because usually a sidewalk is an easement on your private property. And New York has said, look, you know, it's your property, even though we've created this easement. So, you know, what do they do? Are they supposed to petition the city to fix the sidewalk, or are they supposed to get out there and mix a bag of concrete?
These are great points.
I don't think it's right either. I mean, this is not, he doesn't own the sidewalk.
I could see him maintaining the grass and the lawn around it, but I mean, if the concrete pops up on its own because of a root, that's not I can't fix
that. What's he supposed to do? I didn't think that was right. She tripped. Now she's going to, you think the homeowners are going to settle. Mm-hmm. If I were the homeowners or the homeowner's insurance, I'd be like, wait a minute.
That doesn't do you any favors. They'll drop you.
My my home insurance agent, well, he likes to take a steam after a round of racquetball.
I'm familiar with your agent.
And he said he used to just pour over these ideas when he was steaming, and then he would come back later with a fix on this thing. Exactly. This is about homeowners as well. A gentleman named Everett Tripodis had his home destroyed by accident. The city mistakenly tore down his home. And I read the headline and I think, how in the world is this possible? They are suing him for $68,000 in demolition costs after they accidentally tore down his home.
Look what you made us do.
Having a house here.
Lisa, I have read
wasting
this.
Wasting our time.
You know, how dare you put your house
right.
He
came in like a wrecking ball.
How can the city do this? Explain this to us.
Well, they should not. And the problem is sometimes, you know, this guy, he's not a wealthy individual. The home, even though they tore down the wrong home, this home was not in great shape. But he did. He came home one day, and it was gone. I mean, they flattened it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was gone. And they hauled it off. And so it was like almost 70 grand to do that. And it's just these procedures that are in place with the city. It's just protocol that they, when they have to demolish a condemned home, they do go after the property owner. So here, even though they've done it by mistake, they've made another mistake in going after him. And he's just, you know, it's that fighting City Hall thing. He's just trying to get all these different entities because it's like different parts of government. And ultimately, he should be able to prevail, but he's not a wealthy man, and it's expensive to hire an attorney. And so, I don't know, you know, that's the problem that people find themselves in when they get that he's been wronged, but is he going to be able to correct it?
Man, it's terrible.
This man needs pro bono work.
He does. And Five on Your Side down in Atlanta went to him.
Good.
And they're hoping an attorney will step up for him, but that's really wrong. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
And how dare you, City of Atlanta, tear down somebody's house and then say, oh, we're going to sue you because we tore down your house by mistake.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Disgusting.
Atlanta.
It's disgusting, isn't
ATL.
It?
ATL. Be better.
I'm for the little guy.
Well, not always.
This is bureaucracy that they haven't been able to sort it out yet.
God, that's the problem in this country. Mm-hmm.
What I'm picturing is you giving that speech as the like the crane and things are moving in.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, you own the demolition company.
Yeah. Yeah. To demolish the house.
This isn't right. I take beep, beep, beep. That's so true.
My DJ friend said he was going to stop it. Where is he? He's soaking in his new hot tub.